I left it downstairs.
Do, 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 do. Down on Fraggle Rock.
You're almost. I think you're close to there, but
okay. So welcome back, episode 9.
Yeah,
of ISC.
8's the lost episode now.
Well, why don't you tell? You want me?
No, I'll tell.
Okay.
So Dan was having intercourse with his laptop and gave it a venereal disease, so it no longer works, and all our stuff was saved on there. So, but it's okay because he was doing it through the hole in the sheet. Anyone that's ever seen Upright Citizens Brigade will get that one. Because you can do anything through the hole in the sheet.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, no, it got a virus and corrupted his entire household. And
that's all true.
His robot babies.
We're hoping to save or to reclaim the episode and can salvage it. It's going to be our lost episode.
Yeah.
Who knows if and when it'll ever appear. But there was an episode 8 and we talked about a few things.
Yeah, well, we can give a highlight of what we did talk about.
Here's what you missed on episode 8.
We talked about Las Vegas for TV, movies Clueless and 9. In comic books, we talked about Hard Times, 50 to Life, and Batman, the Vampire Stories. Video games, Little King's Story and Prototype / Sandbox Games. And the crazy theories were Vegas, and my zombie theory was...
Sorry, I didn't write it down on the
sheet. You didn't write it down on the sheet.
Was that the medicine is also...
Crazy? Yes, medicine. Medicine. Zombie. Thank medicine. You, buddy.
Speaking of Tom, Tom's here yet again.
I need to write all mine down.
Almost now. A full-time cast member now with us.
Though we talked to Darkseid.
And he's going to appear on a future episode.
Yeah. That we're going to call him Darkseid until he's actually on the show, and then we can call him Trent.
So,
oops, my bad.
So in episode 9, what do we have for the kids, the boys and girls out there?
Dan is going to talk about Battlestar Galactica.
In TV.
The new one.
Yes.
Not the old one.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom's going to yell at him. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to talk about Fraggle Rock because, like, no one can get down on Fraggle Rock because Fraggle Rock's awesome.
I have a lot of good childhood memories about
Fraggle HBO Rock. HBO show. I mean...
Until the movie comes out, and then your childhood will be ruined.
What? What? What?
Well, 20 years from now, they'll probably do a Fraggle Rock movie.
Okay, I thought there was one coming out. I was like, my childhood's already ruined. Man, I'm bringing up my kids on Fraggle Rock. That's why I'm going to end up buying all the seasons of it. But I'm going to talk about Fraggle Rock. Movies, I'm going to talk about a little-known chestnut of awesomeness called Behind the Mask, the Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan's going to talk about Princess Mononoke.
Mm-hmm. Or just Princess Mononoke.
Whatever. In comics, we're going to talk about... Dan's going to talk about Lex Luthor, Man of Steel. I'm going to talk about Why the Last Man. You're going to talk about Final Fantasy X and X2.
Well, 10 and 12.
Oh, I wasn't sure, because there's X and X2. So.
Yeah, there is. Old school PS2 RPGs.
And I'm talking about an awesome game, but we're not going to mention it until it's actually there, so you got to tune in to get the game I'm going to talk about. And everyone will know about it unless you're like 13.
Everybody has probably played your game.
Probably.
I have a crazy theory, which if you will permit me, I'm actually going to do here in the intro, because it really doesn't relate to any of my other stuff. And you, of course, have your zombie tip of the day.
Which goes at the end.
Which goes at the end. So my crazy theory is about autumn. The season of autumn.
Your friend?
No.
Oh.
Fall. You know, one of the four seasons. So here's my theory, basically, is that if people don't subscribe to this theory, I think there's something wrong with them.
Okay.
Really? Here we go. This is by far my favorite time of the year. And I'm going to relate it to our podcast and pop culture in general. And specifically October. I am of the persuasion, and my theory is October is the best of the 12 months. Hands down.
Well, it's not a month.
October is a month.
Oh, I thought you said autumn again.
Autumn.
No, October.
Autumn, specifically. Okay, gotcha. And then, autumn in general and October specifically. My favorite time of the year.
Okay.
Autumn's the best. Best time of season, October's the best month. It has the best holiday in Halloween.
Second best. Christmas is my favorite.
Behind
Christmas.
Arbor Day. Arbor Day is a pretty sweet
planting
holiday.
Planting trees is awesome. We went over this in the lost episode.
I think we did. But everything we talk about TV, right?
Right.
A lot of new TV shows start in September / October.
Yes, September.
Movies, starts to kind of gear up towards the Christmas release schedule, where there's usually good movies this time of year.
DVDs, actually. That's what's become best for, is for DVDs, because right. everything's trying to come out before Christmas, so people will buy
right.
it.
Right. Comics, books, October is usually actually the biggest book release month, and comics tend to get, like, sometimes
this is usually the end of the story
cycles, but there's usually some things going on. Video games, as we both know of working in the industry for a long time, there's actually more games released in October and November than any other time of year, including December, because usually most games are out before Thanksgiving.
It's usually September, October, November, and then March.
Yeah. Especially now, because so much things got pushed back until 2010, but that's another story. Yeah. But between all of that, and then things that I'm interested in, like sports, October's definitely the best sports month. All of the 4 to 5 major sports, depending on what you consider
as a
major.
This is World Series month, right?
Yeah. You got baseball, playoffs, football's in the middle of its regular season, college football's going, basketball started like the other day, hockey started.
Basketball never ends.
Hockey started a couple of weeks ago. I'm really big into FIFA and European soccer. That's well underway. Like, every sport.
And curling should be taking off now.
You guys in your non-sports ways. But all jokes aside,
like curling.
Every sport is active in October.
Oh, yeah.
There's really no sport.
Basketball took its week off and then started up the season again.
True and funny, because it's true. But every sport is active in October. So if you're a sports fan, there's...
Golf?
Kind of winding down, but there are golf events. Yeah. There was the President's Cup last week.
Did he play?
No.
Did you hear he's getting the Nobel Peace Prize?
Yeah.
What has he done?
Let's not get...
No, he hasn't brought any... Because he's like...
Which you guys didn't know, because it's been since edited out. Made possibly the worst comment in the world.
No, come on. It was something a joke.
That, no. Okay.
What? It was.
Anyhow,
not racist.
Best month, best season.
Unless you listen to this show.
Right, which was demonstrated in episode 1.
Yeah.
You remember that? Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But best time of year, for all the reasons I mentioned.
Yeah.
No matter what you're interested in... That something's happening in October, because I've always have been of the opinion that the
how many other
the year...
months have a fest? Oktoberfest? I mean, come on.
I've always been of the opinion that, like, the year, quote unquote, I'm using that in air quotes for people who can't see what I'm doing, kind of begins in September, like when the school year begins. I've always kind of considered that the beginning of the year, because like TV starts then. It seems like everything kind of starts up in September. It's fall, October.
Yeah.
And then it kind of ends when summer, and then summer's the break. Even if you're not on an academic year schedule, which obviously I still kind of am, but...
Yeah.
But it just always seems like this is, like, when everything's new. Like, you're gearing up towards the holidays.
Well, have you ever noticed, like, that all that stuff, they all work off the East Coast? Because, like, in California... I mean, sure, it's October, and maybe it's a little chillier, but it's still probably, like, 70 degrees instead of 80.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're not going to be inside more because it's wintertime. Arizona and New Mexico, not going to be inside more because it's cold out.
If it's 72 outside.
Yeah, you're still going to go do stuff outside. But on the East Coast, you know, for the most part, where New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, all this stuff, it gets cold as crap. So people are inside, they're going to play more video games, watch more TV, watch more movies.
Read more books.
Listen to this podcast.
That might have a lot to do with it. I guess my theory does kind of depend on if you live in a part of the country or a place in the world where you have the four distinct seasons.
Yeah.
Like, if there is no fall, no changing of the leaves.
Yeah, that would suck not to see the leaves change.
Yeah. If you don't have those clear distinctions of the part of the year, then it probably doesn't matter as much. But this is by far my favorite time of year.
Yeah.
And
I really like spring for a couple of reasons. But I do like October. Like, Halloween's my second favorite holiday. Christmas is actually my favorite holiday. And it doesn't have to do with all the silly crap.
Commercial,
you know,
parts of
it. Yeah, no, it's I like giving gifts. I like getting gifts. I mean, who doesn't? But I really like giving people stuff that I've thought enough to go out and buy them and give it to them and watch them open
it. I get to see my whole family.
Yeah. That's always nice.
I do like those parts of it.
And food.
Yeah.
Like Thanksgiving and Christmas, there's food.
Well, Thanksgiving's usually just one day, but usually Christmas, you can get like three or four meals out of a Christmas.
Yeah. I think this upcoming Christmas, well, even last Christmas, me and Yule will have a different, and I'm pointing to Nate, not Tom, but I think we'll have a different opinion of Christmas this year, given that we don't work in retail.
Yes.
That I was like thinking earlier the other day at work.
We might talking actually about, go out on Black Friday.
Well, that was one thing. They were like, I was like thinking earlier, like this is the first Black Friday in like 16 years that I don't have to work. And everybody was talking about like, what are you going to do? Are you going to see like any relatives over the Thanksgiving break away from work? And I'm like, that's right. I have like an actual job now where it doesn't require me to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to get yelled at by 72-year-old grandmas about a Nintendo Wii. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So
for me to get yelled at by you.
True. But I think we will have
a different... We won't get into that, but it was... Dan was mean back then.
But I got shit done.
He was mean.
Yeah. Right.
I like Dan so much better since he stopped working there. Hey, what was episode 7? What was my zombie tip then? Because that wasn't the bullets and cigarettes, was it?
I don't know. But we can talk about it during our break, which is coming up here in a couple of seconds.
Yes, it was. That was your first...
The Russian one? That was the first one you were here?
Right.
For the listeners, the reason why Nate's asking is we're actually compiling a list of everything we've ever done for all the episodes, probably to post it online. So if you're interested in a specific episode or what we talked about, because sometimes we don't detail as well as we should.
Well, and because who knows if we're going to have these episodes because of all the stuff that happened with your computer.
I'm afraid we may have lost some of the stuff before.
So if we lost our old stuff and won't be able to repost it or send it to people that ask for it, you'll know that we already talked about the stuff, so you're not waiting for us to talk about, you know, this later. Like, you won't be waiting for us to talk, have our Batman Arkham Asylum episode, which...
Been there, done that.
And just for one of our listeners out there, I do have a hard-on for Batman, so there.
True enough. Okay, so we'll come back after a little musical break.
Yes. Away with them!
During the break, we were playing with my... Well, we should say that I got a new MacBook, mainly for school and work, but I'm also going to use it here to help record, and we believe it's the audio quality is going to be much better.
Oh, yeah.
And we were playing with some sound effects during the break.
Because none of us are, like, 2 inches away from the mic anymore.
No.
So, Tom's, like, 12 feet away.
He is. He's in a different time zone.
Yeah. Fine, Tom. You can just sit over there.
You sit way over
I
there,
I can Tom. Nap.
Stretch. You could. You could nap.
I usually
we'll do. Throw things at you.
So TV, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go
No,
first?
You should go first.
All right, I'm talking about Battlestar Galactica today.
Because both my TV and movies tie into each other.
Do they?
No, okay. Not in the least bit.
So Battlestar Galactica, and let's see. I just
We saw Edward James almost eating.
2 months ago, give or take, maybe three.
When we first did our first episode?
Yeah, it was. That's right.
We saw him at a convention and he was eating, so we didn't go bother him. Plus, neither of us had seen Battlestar Galactica yet. So
no, I had just started watching it via Netflix and I just finished season 3 earlier this week.
Yeah. And we didn't want to pay like $30 to get his autograph.
No.
So.
You have never seen the new episodes, correct?
No.
And Tom has and does not like them.
I've seen the first 2 seasons.
Okay. So. And I've seen up to season 3. They did 4, but they kind of, sci-fi kind of breaks up their stuff. They had a lot of, like, I believe started season 2.
And
they,
like half season.
Yeah, season 2 and then season 2.5. Season 3, season 3.5.
Well, the first one was just a mini-series, right? It just started off
it as started a mini-series. As a mini-series, but no, there was an entire first season.
Okay. See, I'm in that weird age group where I'm too young to remember the original. Mm-hmm. And then, well, I'm not too old to watch it now, right. But I'm like my brother talks about sometimes about, mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't remember. I just remember the guy from Bonanza was on it. That's all I remember.
Well, I have a lot of uncles and family members who were kind of in the 70s sci-fi scenes. So I remember them always talking about it. I barely remember the old series.
I remember it.
Okay. I have no connection to it. And when I heard that they were doing this new version, I was skeptical. And then I had some friends, some people that you know, like Griff and some people like that, who had always said, you know, check this out. This is really good. And I was like, it's going to be cheesy. I mean, do they still have the Cylons and that? Do they still look kind of weird and dated?
Look awesome, don't you mean?
No, I mean kind of looking
dated. They
look
like they're Cyclops, like they could hit you with an eye laser.
Because they stole the little eye thing from Kit?
Yeah, but it looks like an eye laser.
I think Kit stole it from them.
Oh, fair enough. Well, I was wrong about that. So when I started watching, not the Kit thing, I was wrong about it being cheesy. So when I started watching season one, I was like, wow, it's because I really have come to this late because I think they stopped showing them 2 years ago. They ended with season 4.5, right? There is no season 5, technically.
Well, they're starting with Caprica.
Some movies
it's
and things like that.
It's going to be coming up as a new series.
But I really like the first three seasons, what I've seen. One thing I think they do a good job of is going back to material that they've shown. Having story arcs. Sometimes they'll have an episode that's somewhat self-contained, but they're really good with story arcs telling, in my opinion. That things in season three, they'll refer back to things that happened early in season one.
We've talked about that before, too, where, like, I think a show to be good now, comedy or otherwise, needs to refer back to old episodes because it makes the people that have watched it the whole time...
You get the joke.
You get it, and you appreciate it more because we're talking about with even, like, How I Met Your Mother.
Which is a sitcom.
Yeah,
which,
they still talk about stuff that happened early on, like the slap bet and things like that.
Right.
Boston Legal does it. They'll mention stuff from the first season. You know, there's really good stuff where you're like, if you watch... If like, you've never seen Boston Legal, right?
Only just a handful
of
scenes.
If you sat down and watched an episode with me, I guarantee I'd laugh more than you do. Because I'd get, like, Shatner turns to David Spade.
Yeah, that would be a totally different show.
Yeah. Turns to James Spader.
Right.
Good Lord. And he says something about us being flamingos.
I'll have kids booing you as a sound effect there.
Thanks. See, I'm just going to get all the bad sound effects now. You're going to have, like, woohoo, we love Dan! But if he turns to him and says something about, well, but we're flamingos.
Right.
You're totally not going to get that comment, but I do.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice. So it's really important for serious shows to do that.
So real quick, for those people who don't know what the show's about, basically there's a robotic race called Cylons. Mm. And there was this long war, and in the new series, there's a 50-year peace. They don't have any contact with them for a long time. I think it's about 50 years.
Yeah,
maybe
something
less
like
than
that. It's less than, I think it was only like 20 or 30 maybe. Because
the captain.
Amidala
is
still the captain
right.
of the same ship, so.
So, you know, they're getting to the point now where this new generation doesn't
you
really.
Say his name's Amidala?
Adama.
Yeah,
okay, I was going to say Amidala. I am Queen Amidala.
No.
I am in charge of the Battlestar Galactica.
No, that would make it interesting.
Anakin, go defeat the Cylons.
No.
Do it now. For I am Queen Amidala.
Really? Thanks.
My father is General Amidala. Captain of the Battlestar Galactica. He can fight Dark Sith and Cylons with their kit-like eyeballs. Boop, 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 boop.
Okay, since Dan is incapable of talking at this particular moment, I'd like to point out that...
I win!
Actually, I did like the first season. But once the second season started, you know, by the time the second season ended, I had really just lost interest in...
I get that. I guess what I really, one of the things I do like about it is that it takes this one specific idea and really explores it, which is that if you're part of a group of people, like one thing you have every episode is you talk about a zombie apocalypse. So this doesn't deal with zombies, but it deals with the fact that you have a small group of survivors. Yeah, it's 50,000 at the beginning and it whittles its way down to 40,000 by the end of season three. But the fact that there's only 40,000 humans left and how society, the changes in society that would happen because of that. Like, I've just finished season three, which has this whole big trial that has to do with Balthar, which is one of the main characters on the show, but this one main character goes on trial and they spend two episodes at the end of season three talking about the choices he's made for the entire three seasons prior and how they've gotten up to this point. And it was really fascinating on how, like, everybody kind of comes on these different sides. Like, would you still have, if you only 40,000 people left, how much do you still subscribe to the old theories of, like, law and society? Like, do you write new laws because you only have 40,000 people and they're all self-contained? And if somebody makes one mistake, there's no more humans, period.
Right. Wouldn't you put them on a planet? Because, well, spaceships have problems.
They do that at the end of season two, leading into season three.
Well, with the story arc is Caprica, I believe, in this incarnation of Battlestar Galactica, is the only planet. Isn't it? Or did they
still have still, the 12 colonies? No, they still have the 12 colonies, but okay. Caprica is the most important.
Okay, because... yeah,
which is an interesting...
In the original, there were the,
right.
the 13, which Earth was the 13th.
And it's,
which,
they
by
still
way,
do
in,
that.
In the original one, the show was really great for the three or four seasons I think it had until they reached Earth, and then it blew chunks.
Right.
And I did like, in the first episode, when the Galactica was being turned into a museum,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you noticed this, but all the museum pieces were from the original show.
Oh, yeah. And they've had one guy, the guy who plays Starbuck in the original show, plays a reoccurring character on this new one, so they kind of still...
Yeah, because Starbuck's a girl now, right?
Right. And she's actually arguably the most important character, especially when you get to the end of season three, which you haven't seen. I don't want to give away the story,
okay,
but
they have... You have 50,000 people.
When you start out in season one.
Your goal, then, is humping.
Right. Because they're constantly chased in season one.
Well, you need to put 25,000 guys with 25,000 girls, or however the ratio works out,
and start
making babies.
They kind of refer... They talk...
They
there's
talk
all,
about stuff
that
like
should
that.
Be like your, you know, 9 to 5 is baby making.
They talk about a lot of, like, societal issues that would come up as a result of that. Some interesting things that you wouldn't think about.
You find a planet and you start baby making.
Because you talked about Caprica, which is one of the main planets that they refer to. They have the humans... of this, you know, world or universe, so to speak, are kind of like in a tribal system. Like, your status and your importance in society somewhat is tied to where you're from.
Oh.
So, at the end of season three, there's almost like a class civil war that almost breaks out. That if all you did was dig ditches, and I'm using that in air quotes again, like, if you had a crappy job, you know, somebody's got to do that crappy job, but should it always go to the person it does historically, or should it, if you only have 40,000 people, maybe you should divide things more based on skill set?
Yeah.
And not from where you are?
Yeah, because if you're, like, really smart, you shouldn't get stuck with the ditch digging.
Right, and they had...
No matter if your father was...
They had another episode about there was a need for pilots, because pilots are always dying throughout the seasons.
Makes sense.
So, and typically pilots only come from a couple of areas, and there was this one girl who
and
wanted...
And you don't let women do it.
Actually, most of the pilots are women.
Why would you let them? They can make the babies! So, don't get rid of the factories!
Nate hates everybody in this podcast.
No, it's that... If you've got 40,000 people, you don't
women,
kill
send
off
your
the
hate
women.
Mail to iscpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, go ahead. Send it. I don't care. Because I still stand by women don't listen to podcasts.
or fly airplanes.
No, they can fly. And, you know what? They might be great pilots. But if you have 40,000 people,
right.
You need to make more people. Guys can't make more people by themselves. Otherwise, this planet would be overrun
now,
by guys.
Actually, there is one thing that I would like to... point out here.
Okay.
Although I'm not actually going to point it out, but if you have seen it, you know that that's a moot point.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of there's some practical logistical reasons. Like, they have, even though you need more people and you agree, I agree with you, you only have 40,000 people, the end of your species, if you don't get busy.
Yeah, if everybody
coming.
Gets busy, that you'll have 60,000 people and then another baby, you have 80,000 people.
They have some space considerations because there's a fleet of ships because they had a planet, but then they had to leave that planet and they're trying to get to Earth. But when they're all on just the fleet going from point A to point B, they're overcrowded.
Well, then you kill the old ones.
Wow. Well, anyway,
have the babies.
Anyway, I don't want to
see Kyle.
I want to keep to our, 10 minute per topic. Yeah. Thing. So my time for Battlestar is pretty much up, but I really enjoy seasons 1 through 3. I'm interested in seeing how it wraps up. It's one of those shows, like, I guess it can be classified as a sci-fi, but it's more of a drama with a sci-fi backdrop. So, I mean, because there's an occasional fight almost maybe every episode, but in some episodes there's not. Like, my two favorite episodes might have been those trial episodes at the end of season three, and there's really no combat.
Although the one of my favorite episodes is almost all combat. It's the one where they were being chased and was like every, 27 minutes the Cylons would show up.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
For like 5 days straight, they just
it was like almost a week. Yeah, like every... It was like
everybody
clockwork.
Everybody was on edge. They were everybody's watching the clock, and as soon as it would get to like, it was like 27.
I think it was 27 or 37. It was something like that.
Yeah, something like
that. It was about every half an hour.
They'd show up and attack them, and then
they kept trying to jump ahead of them, but then they would just catch back up. And the fact that you can never sleep because you're human and you're being chased by machines who could care less what time it is.
Isn't there like, don't the robots look like people too?
Yeah, well, those are the leaders of
it.
Some of them. There's 12 of those. You only see about the same 6 or 7 until season 3 where they show the secret 5. But that's a whole other separate thing. But yeah, they have a cloning process and they go to the resurrection ship. But
otherwise, they all look like robots.
Well, they're hybrids.
Well, there are 12 types of robots that all look like humans. All the other ones just look like the big metal robots.
The ones that you probably have seen. Yeah.
Which look like Cyclops.
Like me on the
internet. And they actually handle that.
You don't look like... You have tubes and white stuff. That's it.
They actually handle that whole thing rather well.
Okay.
And the fact that something like that, which could kind of be cheesy if not presented in the right way.
Do you remember the robot chicken? Falling down all over the place.
The Cylons falling
down. Yeah, they're like...
And breaking and their arms falling
off. There was just like
off.
Stuff happening, like there's nothing going on and all of a sudden he's just like falls.
Robot chicken's funny.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, if you're a sci-fi fan, you definitely have probably already watched this, and if not, you should give it a shot. But if you like drama and you like long-reaching story arcs, check it out.
You know, for some reason, I've never been huge on the space shows. Even though I like that kind of stuff, like I like the Star Trek movies. I like Star Trek Next Generation for the most part.
One thing specifically that I think you would like is you liked Firefly, maybe because of the Joss Whedon, but the way they film their battle sequences is exactly like
Tom's pointing.
Firefly, like documentary.
There is a Firefly in the first episode.
Really?
Yep.
Nice.
They have that whole documentary where they're trying to zoom and they might be out of focus at the beginning.
The shaky cam.
The shaky cam.
Which I actually hated in that show. Drove me crazy.
Well, okay. If you're not... But you can tell that they have the similar kind of...
Oh. Yeah, that's cool.
So, or what do you got TV-wise?
Okay. I've got a great show that everyone's seen called Fraggle Rock. Jim Henson's Fraggle Rock. It was on
HBO.
Well, yeah, it started on HBO. It changed stations after. I think it was like the first two or first three seasons were on HBO. And then I believe there's 5 or 6 seasons of it.
5 sounds right.
I
could check while you talk.
Oh.
Given the power of the laptop.
It started in the early 80s. What it was is actually Jim Henson spent a lot of time on the... what was that flight that would go... It was like the supersonic jet.
Concorde?
The Concorde, yeah. He spent a lot of time on the Concorde because he went to England and America back and forth.
According to Wikipedia, where everything is true, Fraggle Rock was a children's television series with a total of 4 seasons and 96 episodes.
Oh, well, maybe it's just because there's so many
episodes. And it's in English.
It is in English.
Not Fraggle-ish.
Must be true.
Now, here's the cool thing. Okay, this is what it was. And the first season has this cool little book that talks about... It's the wonderful world of Woozles or something was what his first idea was. But he sat on the Concorde one trip and filled out this little notebook just full of ideas.
Don't you get this in the DVD?
Yeah. You get the little notebook thing. So, it's cool because he comes up with this idea where he wants to make this image of what our world is like. Where there's these people, like a society within a society within a society. And he does that through having the Fraggles are kind of the middle ground. And then there's the Doozers that are the little guys below Fraggles. And then there's the Gorgs, which are the ones larger than Fraggles. And they're all within their own worlds. And none of them really realize what's going on with the others. And then there's humans on top of that, which are on the other side of it. But one of the things he did with the show is... Most of the Jim Henson stuff was filmed in England,
mm-hmm.
In studios and stuff. But they would film for each country that was going to take the show. They filmed a different outside, or in the outside world.
So that it was culturally relevant.
Yeah. So
them.
Like in ours, yeah. It was a guy, the guy with his inventor's workshop.
Sprocket.
Shed. Yeah, and Sprocket. Well, they all had Sprocket. But there was like in Sweden, there was like a lighthouse keeper. And
it was Sprocket.
In Germany, in Germany, I think it was like a watchmaker, or he might have been an inventor too. But all those parts were done in those countries. So a kid that saw
in Jamaica, it was a bobsled team.
No, Cooler Runnings.
Best movie ever.
Was
sequel to Cool Runnings. So, but no, it was really cool, and they would sing songs. And teach you lessons, you know, life lessons. And he actually hoped, and maybe it sounds stupid to most people, but he really hoped to bring about some peace to people through his show, especially because he knew kids were going to watch it, and those kids are going to grow up knowing those things that they saw, and the songs, you know, and things like that. Is it going to work? Probably not.
Well, I guess it works on an individual basis. I can only speak for myself.
Yeah.
That you, I remember you let me borrow all the seasons like maybe a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And my daughter, who never knew about Fraggle Rock because it's not something current, it's not Hannah Montana or High School Musical.
Right.
But she loved Fraggle Rock and now has this huge love for the Muppets and considers you the Muppet guy.
Yeah.
Because she identifies the Muppets and Fraggle Rock with you.
Yeah.
But she loves it, and it's cool to see that something from my childhood can be passed down.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess you guys are probably going to make fun of me probably here on the podcast and then afterwards. Actually, I identify specifically Fraggle Rock with a really good childhood memory that's really vague and but yet specific, which I know is kind of contradictory. I remember watching Fraggle Rock when I was like 6 or 7 and just watching an episode, and my dad is washing dishes in the background. It's like one of my earliest memories, and I'm watching it, and I'm like sitting in front of like a big, you know, 1970s TV,
yeah,
like Indian style, and I'm like just having a time of my life.
With
and he walks in and just says, "Is everything okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm watching Fraggle Rock." And then he walks out of the room, and that's all I remember.
Wow.
But it's like this really specific, yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
It's this one specific moment.
Yeah.
And I guess in that sense, for Jim Henson, for me, it worked. Like it is one of those things that's incredibly peaceful.
Oh,
in,
yeah.
In the best sense of the word.
Yeah, it's like watching it, I remember. See, that's one of the cool things about getting nostalgic about stuff is you hear a song from like when you were in high school that you haven't heard since you were in high school. You start thinking about, oh man, we used to drive around listening to this song.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the nice things about that show is I'm like, oh man, I may not remember the specific episode that I'm watching, but it's like I remember just liking it.
Any good piece of media, if it can bring you back to a specific time, has done its job. Like if a music typically does it.
Mm-hmm.
But if a movie, or in this case a TV show, if it can remind you of a specific time, like Forrest Gump, which we talked about in our gold standards, and I think I mentioned that on the episode, I can think of Forrest Gump, and I have some specific memories in mind.
Yeah.
So anything like that that can bring you back to a specific moment in time is done its job, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I concur.
But Fraggle Rock is still a good show for kids. Like, I show it to when I watch AJ's friend's little girl Lexi sometimes. We watch Fraggle Rock because it's puppets dancing around with music and silliness. At its bare thing, you know, that's what it is. But it's really about a thing of peace and getting along with other people. And each episode has a message for you. And sometimes three, you know, when they really started doing stuff with the doozers and stuff, used to get like three messages.
I know we're talking about peace and Fraggle Rock, but I've told you my doozer idea before. Wouldn't it be cool if there was like the revenge of the doozers? And the doozers just get pissed and like, they've been eating our bridges.
Start making war machines?
Yeah. And it's kind of like doozers meet Saw. And Red's just like, do-do-do-do-do-do. And then like this ball just comes out of nowhere and like, wow.
Giant buzz saws.
Would you not kind of somewhat pay to see that, but yet like not show it to your kids?
Right. I would watch it and be like, ooh. Okay.
Because I'm thinking the doozers could make some torture devices.
Probably.
Just like a big combo.
Except the only problem is the Fraggles could eat their way out of it.
Right. Okay, let's get back to the peaceful Fraggle Rock. Because I went from my really touching, heartwarming childhood to killing.
Yeah, there's something wrong with you.
Probably.
So anyway, and then there's like the trash heap, which is the character that knows about everything else, which, to be honest, that's probably the scariest character for kids. Like, Lexi, at first, she would want to stop watching it.
It's introduction to Buddha.
But no, the trash heap was interesting. It's kind of more of a gypsy thing, but the trash heap knows there's the Gorgs, knows there's Doozers, knows there's Fraggles, knows there's people. But wants them to all figure it out themselves and, you know, just ends up helping along and singing a couple songs. But that show is, I remember, okay, you guys might have seen this. It was like Jim Henson Hour. And one of the things he showed was how they did the opening for Fraggle Rock. And all of a sudden, it's like this black screen behind him, right? And he's like, he just looks like he's running in front of this black screen. And all of a sudden, he's in Fraggle Rock running. And I'm like, oh my God, how does he do that? Like, it totally blew my mind that Jim Henson was actually in Fraggle Rock. And then he explained it all, and I was like, oh man, there's no Fraggle Rock? I thought this was like a real place. Like, I remember being a kid being kind of disappointed at that. But it also is one of those shows that made me want to become a special effects guy. Mm-hmm. So, all the Muppet stuff does.
And will.
Yeah. So, Fraggle Rock, if you haven't seen it, especially if you haven't seen it in a while since you were a kid or whatever, you should definitely check it out.
It's, and if you have kids of your own,
yes,
you owe it definitely. To them.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Like, me and AJ plan on not having TV still when we have kids, mm-hmm. and just making our own shows.
Better get busy. You know, you need to help out Battlestar Galactica and their 40,000 people.
But like showing our kids shows that we watched when we were kids, you know, like buying them all on DVD and being like, okay, you can watch Fraggles and Muppet Show and, you know, Sesame Street or whatever. But okay.
That was my signal for you're at your 10 minutes. I'm just saying.
Okay, fine, whatever. I don't care.
No, I can talk about Fraggle Rock all the time.
Yeah.
You stop when you want to.
Aw. Thanks, buddy.
Is everything okay here?
Yes. That was really cute. That was a really cute thing.
I thought I've told you that story before.
No, that's cute, though. You should tell that to a girl.
I have.
Oh, yeah. I figured you would. You don't mind going for the low blow. Like, oh, yeah, then my dad came in and was like, everything okay? And
it's
I was
magical.
Like, I looked up at him with big glossy eyes. Yeah, Dad, everything's great.
I don't keep adding to the story like I do to the Batgirl story.
My mom had just died days earlier.
I don't keep adding to it like I do to the Batgirl story.
Right, with the smoke bombs.
With the smoke bombs. I tell it the way it happened.
I think we need a break.
Well, how about before we do our break, we do our movies?
Oh, yeah, okay.
So what's your movie?
My movie, let me move your movie off of my movie.
Okay.
My movie is, I'm trying to find out, Anchor Bays, which they just put out DVDs of horror movies pretty much is all they do. Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon. Now, this was a movie that was recommended to me by someone else. I think actually Jim recommended this. And I watched it and I was like, the first thing I said after I was done watching, I was like, why didn't I think of that? Which tells you it's a good movie if you're like, man, I wish I had come up with that idea.
Mm-hmm.
More or less what it is, it's like a mockumentary. It stars Nathan Basil, I think is how you pronounce his name. He was on that show Invasion, which I never watched.
I'm vaguely familiar with what you're talking about.
It also has Robert Englund, who almost everybody knows was Freddy Krueger.
Mm-hmm.
And has Angela Goethals from 24. And, of course, Zelda Rubinstein from Poltergeist.
Hey. So they got an A-class cast list there.
Yeah. No, it's a low-budget movie. I mean, I won't, you know, mess around saying it's not. It is. But it's shot like a mockumentary. It's these college kids making a documentary, and they meet this guy who's... he's a Jason Voorhees or a Michael Myers or a Freddy Krueger. He's one of those kind of killers. And he walks them through, like, how he does everything or how he plans it and stuff. And they talk about those other guys like they're all real, like they're all in the same universe. and that they're, you know, it's all just a trade. And more or less what it is, they even talk to this guy that's like an older one. And the idea is that they play an important role within society. They make people scared to do things. They're like the boogeyman. So he goes through his whole plan. You watch it as a documentary all the way up until the very last like 10, 15 minutes. And then it runs through the rest of the way like a horror movie. But it's really cool the way they do it. It's funny. They make some jokes like...
When did this movie come out? I don't know. I don't mean to stop you mid-sentence.
That's okay. I'll just hit you later.
Because I've never seen it.
2006.
Okay. I thought I remember hearing something about it, but I don't remember how long ago.
It's really, really good, though. But they make a joke, like there's one joke where he's doing like exercises. And he's like, you don't know how much cardio it takes. Like, to look like you're walking and going after somebody, and they're running their asses off, you know? You got to catch them and look like you're walking. That takes a lot of cardio.
I can see how that's
funny. And, you know, it's just stuff like that throughout the whole thing, you know? And he's, like, so excited about, you know, killing these people or scaring this girl and stuff. It's just done really, really well. It doesn't look low budget. I mean, it looks like, for some of it, it looks like kids are filming it, but it's supposed to. It's just really well done, and Nathan Basil does a great job in it. He should be acting more. I don't know why I haven't seen him in other stuff. Maybe it's because that Invasion show didn't take off or something. But
I think that only lasted 1 year.
Yeah, but he's really good in it. I'm actually going to be lending it to Tom.
Yeah, I'll know next week if all this is true or not.
But everybody I've shown it to really likes it, and like I said, I wish I had thought of it first and been able to make it as a movie.
Well, I might borrow it after Tom. If it's mockumentary shot, yeah. Everybody knows me and my love of documentaries.
It's really good.
And that one scene you described sounds funny. Like, it might be.
Well, there's a lot of stuff like that. Like, he has turtles, so he, like, you know, shows them his turtles and just weird little things like that, you know, doing tricks and things, and he's, like, teaching you more or less how to be this killer. He even, like, talks about his legend that he has to keep going, you know, which is totally fake because he's not even the guy he's claiming to be. You know, throughout the movie, it's
would you really say it's well more done. Comedy and less horror than...
It turns into a definite... Like, at first it seems kind of funny and horror-ish. Like, because it'll go from... You'll see that what's going on documentary style, and then you'll see, like, bits of what the movie would be when he's actually, like, doing the stuff he's supposed to be doing. Like, and then it goes back to documentary style. And... Definitely by the end, you're like, okay, this is, you know, this it ends serious.
Okay.
But there's a lot of funny parts to it.
Yeah, why didn't you think of this?
I don't know.
This does seem something up your alley.
It does, and I'm actually kind of a little ashamed I didn't think of it. But, oh, let me have that back, because I want to say who wrote it and stuff, because they deserve my kudos. Produced and directed by Scott Glosserman.
Way to go, Scott.
Written by... Woo-hoo. David Steve and Scott Glosserman. So,
go David Steve. Two all first right. names.
Good, good job. His last name is spelled Steive, but I'm guessing it's still Steve.
Who are we to judge?
Yeah, so or good job to you guys, because you know, Scott Glosserman, you should be making a big movie right now, because this one was awesome. And we need more awesome writer-directors now than we ever have.
Talk about your stuff on the podcast.
Hells yeah. So if you're listening... Behind the Mask, one of my favorite movies. And I own it.
So, okay.
There. All right, you can talk about your Jacrapame.
You really never like anything I talk about.
It's not true. Yeah. I've liked documentaries before, just not the ones you talk about. I am the...
Tom is our new full-time second...
Go ahead. I just do not like...
We do like some of the
anime style.
All right, well, we'll talk
at
about
all.
It. So my movie is Princess Mononoke, which is probably one of my top 10 favorite movies, regardless of the fact that it's anime. I'm not the biggest anime guy, am I? Do you hear me talking about anime a lot?
You like girly stuff.
Okay. If you say so, which I can't really disagree, but I don't consider anime girly stuff. I like
Have
it.
Have you ever seen Hamtaro?
No. Do I know what Hamtaro is? Yes, but that's because I worked in a video game store for a while.
No, I have a wife, so I know what Hamtaro is, but that's girly stuff.
Anyhow, I like it for the story and more specifically for the world. I'm fascinated by the world and the backstory that they've created.
Japanese people are crazy.
They are. They are. But we love them. But I just, I like the whole setup. The story details a kid who gets exiled and goes on adventures and kind of gets drawn into a whole story involving an empire and...
Does he get exiled?
Yeah.
I thought he leaves on his own.
Because... No, because he has to cut his hair, and if you cut your hair, you have to leave the village. You remember that part?
Yeah, but I thought he chose to do that stuff.
No.
Because
the old lady who runs the village says, you know, based on our ways, you know, we no longer can talk to
you. Is that because he got the evil in his arm?
Yeah.
Probably. Oh, okay. He's got evil in his arm.
So then he goes on a quest to possibly find a cure. He's told that it's going to be near impossible. Eventually crosses paths with a village and eventually with Princess Mononoke herself.
Who's like a feral child.
Right. Raised by wolves. And then the idea is that all, like, every animal has like a dire version, to use a geeky D&D phrase, that has human intelligence and maybe some level of, not supernatural power, that's the wrong...
Keith David does the voice of the big pig.
Right.
Which is cool. There's a lot of famous
people. Oh yeah, some of the famous people, Gillian Anderson, Billy Crudup, Claire Danes, Mimi Driver, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Billy Bob Thornton. So, all play various characters and have screen time on the movie, and I really enjoy it. I think it has rewatchability, which is a key thing I like in movies.
Do you know what I really didn't like about it? It was the weird god thing that had the creepy smiley face. Like, anybody that's seen it knows exactly what I'm talking about. The deer thing?
Yeah.
With the, like, the creepy smiley face? Like,
you like a lot of weird stuff.
It's like...
That's a weird face. Don't do that again.
And it's like creeps me out. I'm like, ah, why would people be happy about you? You're creepy.
They just made a really weird creepy face.
It kind of makes me happy when they kill it.
Oh, but they killed a god.
That's okay. It was a creepy one.
Okay.
Then it has like kind of the seven scene. What's in the box? What's in the box? Creepy smiley face in the box. He rides an antelope. That's interesting.
It is.
That's one of those weird things that are in a lot of the anime stuff is where, like, they'll ride a weird animal.
Right.
Like, they could have horses, but he gets an antelope.
It has a couple of other themes. You know, it has, like, a nature versus science theme.
Well, old ways versus nature.
Yeah, old versus new. Yeah. You know, some classic battles that, you know...
It does have the ridiculous blood stuff, like when they decapitate somebody.
Yeah, but I mean, if you can look past that, or even if you enjoy that those segments of the movie, I still think it has a little bit for everybody. And the year that it came out, it was in a lot of people's top 10 list, and will likely remain in mine.
I worked at the video store when it came out, and I actually rented it because I saw all the famous people. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to finally give anime a chance. It's got a bunch of famous people doing voices. I'm going to do it. And I watched it, and I was like, makes it better, I guess, but still not great.
And the thing I keep coming back to this is, like, one thing we were actually talking before the show when we went to go get our food is the studio that made this is Studio Ghibli, which is a Japanese production house, pretty famous there.
Ghibli.
And they've done a few other things like... Spirited Away, there's a whole series of movies. But they recently signed a production deal with, I might be getting this wrong, so I don't want to say the company, because I'm not sure if it was the one I mentioned to you earlier. But they've never really made any games based around any of their IPs. Mm. And I guess now they're starting the process of looking into that. And whether they do or not, but I would love an RPG based on this world, even if it didn't detail the events of the game.
It's kind of similar to the Shadow of the Colossus kind of thing.
Yeah, it has that epic scale. I mean, because of the animals.
Yeah.
How the size of them, the physical size of that, which has a lot of things, obviously, with Colossus or Shadow of Colossus. I would love an RPG or even an action-adventure game kind of set in this world. I think if done right, although you could say that about any game, but it would have a potential.
I just, you know, and that's one of those things I don't like a lot about a lot of RPG video games, is the whole androgynous
Well, the reason why I like that, I guess he, you could say that the main character that Billy voices is kind of that.
He's better. At least he's got short hair.
But I like this because it wouldn't be your stereotypical fantasy setting. Yeah. I mean, there's really no dwarves or elves or anything like that. Because it's more set on a society that's somewhat on the brink of an industrial revolution because they have the whole coal and the whole mining town that they have.
Well, guns.
Yeah, and it has, you know, that. So, you know, I've always thought like that time period and technology like that. I guess steampunk's getting a little bit more popular in various media. But that's one of those areas that I think has been underserved. Like, do we need another game that's elves, dwarves, and dragons? Probably not.
Well, no, but I mean, I don't know. It's like Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm actually going to talk about.
I know, but the guys always look like girls. And like I remember,
and that's, some of that's cultural, though.
Well, and sometimes they just change
the
names of them and give them a guy name all the time.
Well, let's talk about that when we get to video games.
All right, fine.
Okay, so that's mine. That ends movies and TV.
Okay.
We're going to take our break.
Well, one thing, though, Tom likes anime. Like, he's a big fan of anime.
I wouldn't say big, but I do like it.
I don't know. You mentioned a lot of them. Because, like, that Deus Ex Machina, you know, Appleseed or something like that.
Yeah,
like, that was one where you're like, you got to watch this. And I'm like,
Well, the new one was actually, that was mostly visual. The story on that really wasn't that good. But I thought it looked fantastic.
Well, because they mixed CGI stuff with cartoon.
And they did a good job of mixing it. I've seen ones that were really crappy, but
like the Dragonlance one. Did you guys ever see that? I think we talked about it on the show before, but like it's all cartoons except for the Draconians are CGI and not good CGI. Yeah. So they look like they're like someone invaded with a like Sega Genesis game invaded this your cartoon with a Sega Genesis game. But yeah, maybe not a huge fan, but you're...
I'm not a huge, but I mean, I do know some of it. Some of the other stuff that this guy has done is good. I really liked My Neighbor Totoro, which is like written for a 5-year-old, but I still love it. It was great. It's very cute.
My wife's a big fan of anime. Like we have, she doesn't like this version as much as the original, but she has the Nausicaa. Valley of the Wind.
That's awesome.
She had the original one on tape, which now they redid it with like Uma Thurman voicing it, you know, character and a bunch of famous people. And it's not the same, you know, so she didn't like the new version as much, but she liked the original one. There was some like Kiki's Delivery Service,
which
really
is
liked.
Done by the studio as well.
Howl's
Flying
Castle or something.
That's in there too.
I actually heard that they're going to do something with that.
That's all from Studio Ghibli. It's all under the same banner. And, I mean, basically, this isn't really a direct analogy, but some people consider Studio Ghibli is basically Japan's Disney.
Okay.
In a lot of ways.
Releases all their stuff here.
Right.
But, she likes a lot of... there's one that she told me about that I actually do want to see... Where it's supposed to be this really sad story about this son
Dance
and
of the
daughter.
Fireflies?
Yeah.
The war one? It's like a war story. Dance of the Fireflies?
No, Grave of the Fireflies. Grave of the Fireflies. Oh, God. That is really sad. And I saw it.
I saw it a year ago.
Well, I saw it the week after my grandmother died. I mean, like, she died and someone was like, here, watch this. I was like, okay. I'm like,
the eyes are going to get watery.
Yeah, that's what she says, no matter what. Like, anyway, I've talked to that mentioned that one, they all say, like, yeah. I get a little teary.
That is,
yeah, it is. It's good, but it's really, yeah.
Okay, let's go talk about something happy during the break. All right, we'll be back in a couple of moments.
Yeah, with talk about men, because we're going to talk about the Man of Steel, Lex Luthor, and why the last man.
Where you're like, damn. And all she does is she just leaves the room, and I think she calls him a bastard. She's like, you bastard. Yeah. And it's like, you bastard, you've totally pinpointed the essence of me in 5 seconds.
Yeah. They had a really cool thing in that Superman Doomsday with Mercy, where he's like,
She's like, oh, Lex, we have everything taken care of. Nobody knows about it now. And he's like, oh, yeah, there's one person left. Bam! And shoots her in the head. He's like, now everybody's taken care of that knew about it. Yeah.
So I would say, you know, Lex is very, he's very self-aware. He kind of knows his place in the world.
Yeah.
He knows how he's viewed. And he kind of knows that some people view him as a bad guy, but other people look up to him. And he's able to walk that line well.
There's the guy that works in the building that he gives money to, though.
The guy, well, yeah, the third party, his kind of, not a lieutenant, but he gives that, the guy you're referring to, I forget that character's name, but he was the one who directly dealt with Toy Man. So that way there was a person, there was a person in between.
That he, like, gives some money to just to be nice or
whatever. Oh, yeah, who was cleaning the rooms. Yeah, there was just, that was just kind of a throwaway
scene. But it still, it shows that he, like, actually cares for people that have worked for him for a long time. He, like...
Lex isn't cold 24/7. He really picks his spots.
Yeah. Like, maybe, you know, like, yeah, I'm going to go to hell this way, but hey, this will help me get to heaven.
And oftentimes Lex is kind of portrayed as an older guy.
Mm-hmm.
And here you got I got the impression that he might have been like in his 40s or 50s. But one show that you might mention at some point or me is Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked Michael Rosenbaum's portrayal of Lex. And I kind of like that younger version of Lex to kind of go along with a younger version of Superman.
Yeah, I like I think he's like, you know, late 30s, early 40s in there. And I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
You know, Lex, because he still looks buff and, you know, he looks healthy, you know, because he could pay for it.
Right.
There's one of those doesn't have it, but there was a picture where it was Lex pulling his shirt open like Superman does when he's Clark Kent, showing the S. But on him, it was like this blood Superman symbol. And I actually had that on my computer for a long time as my background because it was just such a cool picture. It's not that.
Breaking the chains here.
Yeah, that's just like the Superman picture where he's busting out of chains. But yeah, it was really cool. And
I, one other thing I liked, you know, I detailed a couple episodes the nature of rivalries. Mm-hmm. I think at times this kind of gets to at least Lex's version of the rivalry.
Yeah.
And kind of defines it. I mean, one thing I did like about this miniseries is there's not a lot of dialogue and there's not a lot of writing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the panels, it's a very minimalist approach, not to the art style, but to the amount of text on a page.
Yeah.
They're really economical, I guess is the best word to say with their words. They kind of pick and choose their spots really, really well. So just from a story aspect to a production aspect, I enjoyed everything about this. Like, this is something I'm surprised I don't already own, and I'm going to make a point of finding it probably and trade at some point.
Brian Azzarello. Or maybe not
just giving these back to you. I haven't really quite decided yet.
Well, I think Brian Azzarello has a really good way of looking at it from the bad guy's point of view, which is something I just think is nice because you always wonder, just like, people always go, well, why does Lex Luthor not like Superman? And they've had some lame stories, you know, like, in their past, Clark caused this thing which made Lex go bald. Like, originally, or at some point, that was actually the story of why Lex Luthor hated Superman, was because Superboy, or whatever, caused his hair loss.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's ridiculous.
Right.
You know?
But you can buy the fact.
Yeah, that okay, all people are corrupted. At some point, Superman is going to get corrupted, too.
What are we going to do when that day comes?
Yeah, when that happens, we're effed. So we need to be ready for it when it happens. That's just smart planning. That's not even evil. I mean, he does evil things to get to that point.
Here's a thing that we could probably talk about forever, knowing your background. Could you not make the argument if things happen in their lives differently, that Lex and Bruce Wayne are only separated by just a little bit?
By parents being slaughtered or not slaughtered? Yeah.
That Bruce could have made the same decisions that Lex did. Because, I mean, in some respects, I mean, you know, you're talking about a wealthy guy who runs the town that they live in. Batman
still has the contingency plan, like, hey, if something happens with Superman, I've got it covered with this kryptonite ring in my belt that's always in my belt. You know, just in case Superman goes wacko, I can beat the crap out of him. So it's not that different, because when it comes down to it, they have more in common. They're both humans.
Mm-hmm.
They're both super rich.
Super smart.
And super smart. So,
and really devoted to the towns that they live in.
Yeah.
There's a part of Lex who wants nothing but good things for Metropolis, along as it's on his terms.
Oh, sure.
And you can almost say the same thing about Bruce.
Yeah.
He wants nothing good for, but good things for Gotham.
Yeah.
As long as he has a say in it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities between the two characters. It's just that they're, Superman's thing is a contingency plan. Lex Luthor's like, this is definitely happening, so we need to take care of it. But yeah, there's some similarities there. And, mm-hmm. I mean, Batman even makes an appearance in this
mm-hmm.
miniseries. And he looks kind of dark and somewhat evil, too.
Yeah, he's looking kind of retro there, too.
So, I mean, I would... I guess in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, I would recommend it to anybody who's interested in, well, obviously, Superman slash Lex Luthor. But
yep.
anybody who's interested in maybe almost the essence of a villain...
Yeah, like, if you like the bad guy's point of view kind of thing, it's, like what I makes said, them you know, when we talk yeah. about the Joker, it's definitely something you want to pick up.
And every time, you know, somebody, sometimes the subject just kind of comes up casually, like, I sometimes will say, I always want the supervillain to win,
mm-hmm.
or I identify with the villain, they're not a villain, they're misunderstood.
Yeah.
I use that line a lot. In this, you could almost make that argument, like, in all seriousness, that
oh sure,
in a lot of ways Lex is just misunderstood, and some of that's by his choice.
Okay. Well, if say a Superman type person showed up nowadays
mm-hmm.
in our world, don't you think the government would be doing there exactly would be
somebody
what,
who would be doing
yeah
it like
there would John. Be like they would be going okay, sure maybe he's saving the day now, but what if he changes his right. mind? We need to be ready for him. You know, he's just saying. You know, I'm gonna be ready for him,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I'm gonna be the one to take care of him because I'm really Superman. You know, I'm the Superman. Yeah.
Well said.
Thanks.
But I really enjoyed it. I'm glad you let me borrow it, and yeah. I can't say enough good things. It's probably the thing I've enjoyed the most, even though it wasn't released this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing I've enjoyed the most, comic book wise, that I have read this year.
Oh.
I would give That's it that good. High of a recommendation. I mean, I don't read as much as you do on a weekly, monthly basis.
Yeah.
But I try to keep up here and there, but I really, really like this.
Nice. Well, good.
So what do you got?
I have a comic called Why the Last Man. It's put out by Vertigo, which is owned by DC. This
which
one...
I think you've only ever talked about DC Comics minus the Astro City. I'm going to take a look from our master list. Green Lantern, DC.
Uh-huh.
Blackest Night, DC.
Uh-huh.
Teen Titans, guess what? DC. Joker.
DC.
DC, Astro City, as we mentioned. Fables, Vertigo, owned mm-hmm. by...
DC.
Wait a second, let me think. I think it's DC.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom filling in for you last... episode,
Batman.
The lost episode, Batman Vampire, who does Batman?
DC.
DC.
Yeah.
So you're pretty much anti-Marvel is what you're saying to the blogosphere.
Well, see, I accidentally get, they ended one of the comics I get for Marvel. They just ended it,
mm-hmm.
like, in the sixth issue.
Right. So what did Stan Lee ever do to you?
I actually like Stan Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You
but,
don't like...
No, I collect X-Men, but it hasn't had a really great story. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the Secret Invasion thing. It okay, see, the problem is a lot of the Marvel stuff ends like I always talk about. It doesn't end well. The whole story builds up and it's really cool, and then it ends like bleh.
And you think DC does a better job of that?
I think DC, yeah. Okay. Especially right now, their storyline right now is
awesome. I was just
awesome.
Playing Devil's douchebag.
Well, you are a douche. Okay, so Why the Last Man by Vertigo. I'm on the third volume of the trade paperbacks. It actually started in 2003, which is kind of amazing. I didn't think it's been around that
long. I'm pretty sure the series ended, too, didn't it?
I don't know.
I'm going to find out for you.
But 2003-2004, it's written by Brian K. Vaughan.
Who we've mentioned before.
Yeah, but I don't know what other stuff he was doing.
Didn't he do Pride of Baghdad?
Maybe he did Pride of Baghdad.
I think he did.
Yeah, it was him that did Pride of Baghdad.
It did,
and Brian Azzarello just did the Joker.
It ended in January. They did 60 issues.
Oh. But anyway, and drawn by Pia Guerra and Paul Chadwick. There might have been another artist in there for the other ones, but this is issues more or less 11 through 17. I read the first two parts of the story before. More or less, here's the story. There's a kid named Yorick Brown, who is an out-of-work kid, maybe like 20-something. He wants to be an escape artist and a magician.
Harry Houdini-ish?
Kind of, okay. Yeah. Which is why the cover of the first issue has a kid in a straitjacket. Is because at the beginning of the story, he's escaping from a straitjacket as he's talking to his girlfriend on the phone. So I was like, wait, was he a crazy person? You know, but no, it's because he's an escape artist. Anyway, all of a sudden, all these things are going on that you're finding out about all over the world. And all at the same time, every creature on the planet with a Y chromosome, so meaning male, male giraffes, male rhinoceros, male humans, monkeys, everything, all start bleeding out of their eyes, throwing up blood, and die. Except for Yorick Brown and his little monkey named Ampersand, which is that weird squiggly symbol for an ant.
Right.
So, they're the only two.
Why?
So far, you don't know.
Okay.
It's possible his girlfriend had been in the outback studying for like a couple weeks, I guess. And he's talking to her on the phone, and he actually kind of proposes to her on the phone, but they get disconnected. He bought her a ring from a magic shop that was supposed to be, you know, like a magic ring. Well, he's wearing it around his neck, and he had it with him when the whole thing happened. So it's possible it's that, or maybe he's just, for whatever reason, he's fine.
And his monkey.
What does his monkey have around his neck?
Nothing, but he's always with Yorick, so. Oh. But anyways, they don't know even what caused it yet, whether it's disease, magic. Terrorist, it could be magic. You get an idea that it could be.
No, I was just kidding.
No, because this person took an amulet out of Jordan, I want to say. It was supposed to stay there, otherwise like
something
really bad would happen. Well, it was taken out of there, so. But the story picks back up after that happens. The story picks back up 2 months later. So there's been no men anywhere for 2 months. York's going around wearing a gas mask and like all these clothes to hide that he's a guy. Because there's like these Amazons out there. Or they call themselves the daughters of the Amazons.
He's worried that
they'll kill him.
For being the last guy?
The daughters of the Amazons believe that it happened for a reason. There should be no men. They even were killing like the post ops. Like women that are, you know, have penises and stuff,
right.
But they're still technically have two X chromosomes. They were going around killing them, even though.
But wouldn't there be another group of women who would, this guy would be the luckiest guy in the world?
Possibly, yes. actually, one chick she was a supermodel before things happened, and now she picks up dead people and takes them in, you know, a garbage truck and throws them away, because what good is a supermodel in a world full of women? So she actually handcuffs him because she's going to sell him as a slave, because she's like, I'm going to make a lot of food off of you, because they all do everything for food.
Uh-huh.
But he ends up, just a lot of different things are happening. Where I'm at right now is they found this Russian girl who's been trying to make her way to Kansas, and the group, which is Yorick, this Asian doctor named Dr. Mann, I don't remember if it was Dr. Yeah, it's kind of funny, their last name's Mann. But she named herself after Mann's Chinese theater just to make her dad angry. Because she's like her mom was Japanese, her dad was Chinese or something. So, her parents never got along. And she legally changed her last name. And then there's 355, which is Agent 355 of the Culper Ring. Which I figured you'd like, because it's like the secret society that the Founding Fathers started.
I like secret societies.
That are like secret agents.
Hmm.
For,
it's two of my favorite things.
Yeah, for the United States, and they do stuff, and they all have numbers. And she's Agent 355. And her, Dr. Mann, and Yorick are making their way to California to where Dr. Mann's backup information is. So, but on their way there, they meet this Russian girl. She says the astronauts are still on the space station, and she's part of the Russian government. Because one of them's a cosmonaut, and he could, you know, help save Russia because he's be the last man in Russia. And there's also another dude that and they're coming from the space station in this ship that's like should have been overhauled a long time ago, like 3 months ago. They're going to bring it back to Earth, and that's where I left off. Was they got to this place in Kansas, which is called like a hot suite.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be where.
So like, at this point, there is actually more than one guy.
If they'll survive once they get on the planet, if they survive coming in the entering the Earth's atmosphere,
right?
If they survive landing, I don't know if they're going to die as soon as they open the capsule. You know, who knows? There might be three men on Earth.
Mm.
So, but I haven't got that far yet.
Sounds interesting.
It's I've really heard good cool.
things about it in the past.
There's a lot of neat stories. What I will say, and maybe I haven't brought explained this very well, but what I would say is people that like Walking Dead will like this.
Well, I'm one of those people.
It's the same thing, but with chicks.
What's worse?
It's very.
I just similar. Took some of your hate mail after I said that.
Oh. It's very similar in tones to that because it's post-apocalyptic, but it's you're finding characters that you care about, you give a crap about, like Yorick's sister Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Their dad was a theater or a drama professor or something like that, so he named him after Shakespearean characters.
Okay.
She actually got in, even though she used to be like a really cool chick and stuff, she got in with the Daughters of the Amazon. Yeah.
I have maybe a stupid question. So when this event happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about all the women who were pregnant when the event happened who were going to have
boys? All the babies died.
Regardless if they were boys or girls?
All the boys died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Every Y chromosome carrying thing dead.
Huh. Yeah, I'm going to have to look into this. It sounds interesting.
But his sister ends up joining the Daughters of the Amazon. So she ends up hunting down her own brother at one point find out about that. And like,
wait all for the, that sounds Shakespearean.
All the Daughters of the Amazon cut off one of their breasts because that's what like the ancient Amazons used to do, so they'd be better with a sword and a bow on a horse. So they're kind of creepy. It's a little bit messed up, but we'll see where that part of the story goes. There's this Israeli colonel chasing down Yorick because she wants a war to happen. It's there's a lot of stuff, but I would say when it comes to comic books, I would read Walking Dead first, and probably when it comes to long overall story type things, mm-hmm. Why the Last Man would be second. So anybody that's picked up Walking Dead on our recommendation should also pick up Why the Last Man.
That's a high recommendation.
Yeah.
You basically said this is the second best comic book there is.
For the long overall story thing.
Okay.
You know, like when it comes to like monthly, installments or whatever, like I still really like Batman.
Right. You're the Batman guy.
You know, and I still really like Green Lantern and stuff like that. But
really, you should talk about Green Lantern on a podcast
before. Yeah. Why don't you bring up another documentary? So, but for overall story kind of thing, I would say Why the Last Man's second. As of right now, I mean, the story, I could finish this one here and be like, okay, I changed my mind, I guess. I changed my mind. It's horrible. But I don't see it going that way. I see it being really good.
Although, I don't know. That whole dead astronaut on the front cover might be a bit of a giveaway.
Yeah, but they kind of do that stuff to make you think, Like, there was a cover for Walking Dead where the little boy. Like yeah, he was taking. But that's probably the one where he was sick.
It was more of a metaphor that
yeah.
Rick was acting like a zombie at that point.
Yeah.
Cool. What do you got?
That's Why the Last Man.
I got nothing.
You got nothing? No, I thought maybe you had something to add. You look like you
had something to add. I was just, like I said, I noticed the picture of the dead, or the astronaut helmet with the skull in it there on the cover. Like,
yeah. They have really funny titles, too. The first storyline, the first six issues, was called Unmanned. The second one was called...
Oh, I get it.
The second one was called Cycles. And then this one's called One Small Step.
So that's clever.
Yeah. But there's a lot of trades for this. I think there's more of this than there is for Walking Dead so far.
Well, Walking Dead's about the same. If that lasted 60 issues, Walking Dead's like in the 60s, I think. So.
Yeah.
It depends on how many issues they do per trade. But cool. I'm going to have to look that up. So that concludes comics.
Yes, sir.
We'll move along to your video game, which we should mention. for the listeners, we have an upcoming bonus
yes.
episode, which will just detail video games and specifically a bet
yes.
that Nate and I have.
Oh, yeah.
But we won't get into that now. Let's just yeah. talk about...
But because of this thing, I got out the Nintendo
right.
NES, and I've been playing some games, and started playing Super Mario Bros. 3, which everybody... Oh, yeah, I remember playing
I think
Super Mario
everybody's Bros. Played a Super Mario Bros. Game. Maybe not 3.
Oh, sure, but...
But everybody's played Super
yeah,
Mario.
Yeah, whether it's, you know, Mario 64 or, you know, Super Mario Bros. Or Super Mario World, which was on the NES.
Or the new Super Mario Bros., which is on the DS.
And there's one coming out for the Wii soon that's the same game.
Yeah.
Everybody's At some playing. Point, you've played a Mario game. So... I would like to start off by saying I'm awesome at Super Mario Bros. 3.
Bastard.
Like, the second that.
You're talented in Super Mario Bros. 3, let's say that.
Okay.
Well, we
have the list of people you call in case the world safety is on a playing of Super Mario 3. Where am I on your list?
You're pretty high on the list.
Way above me and Dan. I
Way above myself. At
Where
time.
Did I put you, Dan?
You put me after your pets at one point.
Yes. Which you've gotten back above the pets.
You put me below people, below individuals without opposable thumbs.
Right. Right.
Which is kind of key to play a Nintendo.
Yeah, I might still pick somebody that doesn't have arms.
Before.
Because they can play with their feet on a Nintendo pad.
They probably could. But I played again the other day, and I wasn't as bad.
No, you weren't as bad. But that first time, you were horrible at it.
I was surprised.
Like you're like, hey, I play Halo, I play Gears of War, but I can't play Super Mario Brothers.
I play those games rather well, I think. And, yeah, my Super Mario skills are lacking.
But it's a great
but
game.
But all jokes aside,
it's
yeah.
It's fun to play an old game like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's some, you know, silly stuff like we talked about raccoon. You get a raccoon tail and all of a sudden you can fly, which makes perfect sense because raccoons fly.
Of course they do.
You know, and you get a leaf to get a raccoon tail, which really doesn't make any sense. But there's just some funny stuff like that.
Could it be a squirrel tail and maybe a flying
no,
squirrel?
No, it's a raccoon. Okay. Yeah, it's a raccoon
did
tail.
Did they like specifically
it's,
say that?
Yeah, and it's got lines on it.
Oh, okay.
It's like a raccoon.
If it was tail. A squirrel, it'd be like kind of like in a question mark and like
it'd be a big bushy thing.
And,
yeah,
it would be.
No, it's a raccoon tail. Probably says it in the book.
Definitely not an opossum tail, I can tell you that.
And you get the suit. You can get the suit, too, the whole raccoon suit. But anyway.
It did bring me back to 1987 or whenever that game was released.
Yeah, it made me think about the first time I saw it and how great of a game it looked
look
like.
Look at those graphics.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How do they make things look that 3D, you know? And just the way you go from stage to stage and you kind of have the setup menu, you know, and you go like boop, 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 and you're going to your different level and you get to choose. And the only bad part is there's no save game. So, like, you have to beat it in one night or you're not beating it at all. So, but it's
yeah, it's hard to compare it, though, to anything now.
Yeah, but it's just still, like, I've sat down since I hooked up the Nintendo. And I've played it probably like 5 times, like just sitting there playing through 5 times, just because it's a lot of fun to play. And a lot of those old games, I recommend to people, if you can get a hold of an old system like that, if you don't already have one, just hook it up and play it for a little while.
I think they made I'm almost positive they made a GBA, Game Boy Advance version of that.
Hmm.
And if it's not already out, it probably will be out on the Virtual Console for Wii.
Oh,
so there's other ways to, like, if you don't have an old school Nintendo.
Yeah. Well, like, remember Mario All-Stars, where it had, like, all those games in there?
Yeah.
That was a really cool game. I remember it was, like, hard to find because everybody bought it up.
Yeah.
But you could play all the old Mario games on it. Yeah, that'd be a smart thing to put on the Virtual Console. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not much I can say about it. It's like, I'm not going to be like, oh,
what can you say about
well.
Mario? Yeah.
Yeah, it's Mario, but it's still fun to play.
Except if you play against me, I will try to steal your stars at
yeah.
every opportunity.
It's like, hey, I'm going to, since I can't beat an actual level, I'll just be petty. So.
Pretty much.
Yeah, there's not a lot I can say about it, except for, it's just, it's still fun after 20
years.
Yeah. It's still fun. And it's amazing that, to think that we thought those were like the best graphics could get. You know, thinking now, like, it's just, like, the DS Nintendo or the DS new Super Mario has way better graphics, and it's like this tiny little thing.
Well, this is the second childhood kind of thing. We talked about, you know, Fraggle Rock earlier, and I'm happy that there's still games like this that'll always be made. Like, there's always going to be something Mario, and like, my daughter is getting has been at the age now where she plays a lot of DS games, and she's gotten pretty good at it, and she loves like the Mario on DS and Yoshi's Story and the Princess Peach game, which is basically a Mario game. It's instead of Mario, it's Princess. And she likes those games as much as anything that's new.
Yeah.
So to speak, quote unquote, that is kind of geared towards girls that age. And I'm so happy that that stuff still has whatever it is to get kids. It's something universal.
Yeah, there's something about the classic. You know, you got a beginning and an end of each stage. You know, you jump.
You collect things.
Yeah, you get stuff. You get bigger. You get where you can fly. There's secrets, you know, that everybody remembers. Little things like, remember the one where it's like I went behind that
thing? Oh, you knew exactly where that was. Yeah,
but I don't remember where you go after that point, but I remember that's what it was. There's something there. You know, there's a secret there. And there's the cool, like, worlds. Like, because there's the one, I think in Super Mario 3 is the one with the giant world where it's like got the giant Goombas and the giant
expecting
turtles.
Me to get to that level, you're gonna be disappointed.
Right. Yeah, definitely not expecting you to get there. So Dan had to continue before we were done with the first world, and I had to do all the levels in the first world.
It was so bad that you had other people over the one day. Well, other people being Trent and Tom, and they were the first thing was, Dan, let's see you play Super Mario 3. We heard how historically bad you are.
Funny enough, Trent wasn't all that much better at it, and though Tom wasn't
time,
either.
The first time I played, though, I jumped and landed on...
like right in front of a turtle.
A turtle, and it was dead within like 3.2 seconds.
Yeah.
And the first thing I did, well, I jumped twice. I jumped up and then jumped onto a mushroom.
Right. So... Yeah. If the world is based on a Super Mario 3 playing, I am not on the list of people to go to.
No, I would play it myself.
If you want the world to end,
yeah, you
then
call
I'm,
Dan.
I'm high on the list.
Yeah.
So, Super Mario 3.
If it comes out on the Virtual Console, get it. If not, hook up an old Nintendo, find one at a garage sale or something, and or get one of those... Whatever the top loading ones that we were selling for a while, like $20 or something.
Yeah,
for
the
like
top the, loaders.
Somebody put out a better, new, like the Messiah or something it was called.
Yeah, I think so.
Get something like that and play some old Nintendo games. I know it's like the college thing to do is like play old games like Super Nintendo and stuff. But yeah, it's fun to play those old games. So we'll be talking about that more within the bet,
which is on our bonus show. Episode, which should go up relatively soon after you hear this one.
Yeah.
Well, I have an old game as well. Well, kind of. I mean, I have two Final Fantasy games as part of the bet as well. There's a PS2 game that we'll talk about later. But because I recently had to get another PS2 because the one I had finally was at the end of its life. So
that was your custom one.
It was my custom one, but it was the guts of my original PS2. Yeah. Which was, when did PS2 come out? 2000? Does 99? That sound right? No, because Dreamcast was 99. 2000, I want to say.
Okay, fine.
My original one lasted me like, 8 or 9 years, but it came time to buy a new one. So I'm going through and playing some other old PS2 games. And mainly everything I have for the PS2 now is RPG based. So one thing I popped in was Final Fantasy X, and then I also played a little Final Fantasy XII, because I never beat 12. But for a different generation... who remembers, you talked about the generation who remembers Super Mario 3.
Yeah.
There's going to be a generation who, maybe 7's a better example when it comes to Final Fantasy, but 10 to an extent.
Yeah, when I was in high school, that's all anybody could talk about. They're gonna Final Fantasy 7.
Yeah. And somewhat for good reason, but 10 I really enjoy. 10's such an... It's weird to say this, I think, when it comes to Final Fantasy, but in retrospect, I think 10's somewhat underrated as a video game.
I just remember it having the stupid kickball game.
The Blitzball? Yeah, that's one of those things, like, if you didn't like the Blitzball game, the mini game, because every Final Fantasy has either, like, some kind of a card mini game or something that was going on. It had Blitzball where it was, like, this time-based sports game, and I actually got really good at it, and that was really fun.
I never played it. I just remember I kind of liked it because the main character is a kid or a guy, and he looks like a guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, sweet! He looks like a guy. This is awesome.
But one thing I really like when it comes to 10 and 12 to an extent is that, you know, most RPGs, when you level up, you put points and just stats, and it's really straightforward. Like, one of our favorite games is Fallout 3, which we're going to talk about, and we have talked about. But there's really, it's just put your points into these categories, hit okay, or continue, and move on. Mm-hmm. The leveling up system in 10 and 12, I really liked, because I guess it was novel in the sense that 10 had the whole sphere grid, where you had to unlock the spot in front and behind it. I don't know. Did you ever play 10?
No.
You're looking at me like I'm kind of weird.
Dude, I've played 9.
Well, it had...
That's it.
It had a sphere grid system where you unlocked these, like, spots that looks like almost like on a game board. So if you wanted, like, you know, 20 extra health, you had to unlock the spot in front of the 20 extra health to get to the 20 extra health.
Okay.
So you got points every so often, and you unlocked so you could customize your characters in any way you saw fit. So you could, like, go to the part of the board that had more magic stuff, or go to the part of the board that had more melee stuff. So it had that. And then 12 had a thing called the, forget the technical name for it. It was something board. Honor board? Game board? Something like that, where it was kind of like the sphere grid, but it almost looked like... Best way I can describe it is like a periodic table of elements. You know what? You have that image periodic in your table head. Of
skills.
Yeah.
With rarium, the rarest of all elements.
And it was the same idea. You could only get things that you had already unlocked that were adjacent. So if you wanted something that allowed you to use special swords, you had to have the thing either to the side of special swords or below it or above it. Because you couldn't move diagonally on the board. You can only move vertically or horizontally.
Okay.
So again, if you wanted to have a person who was more magic-based, you would just go to that part of the periodic table of elements.
Okay.
And pick from there. But to me, that's almost like a separate game. Like, I would always think about how I wanted to level up my guys. And I know you're looking at me like, that's weird, but I think...
I know people that are like that like... They play tabletop games that way, where they're like, Trent is one of them. He knows what he's getting for, like, his next 50 experience points. He's already got it planned out.
Right.
I've never played a game like that. Like, I can't think that far ahead for points.
What do we need now?
Yeah, I'm like, man, if I make it through the next game, I'll spend some points. You know, one thing I do want to say is a quick little fun thing to do is IUM. Add IUM or IUM. To the end of anything, and it's fun elements like rarium, the rarest of all elements, or varium, the various.
We did that in Red Faction, remember? In Destructium.
Yeah, and me and AJ were playing Scrabble on Xbox Live, and I tried to make the word rarium, and then I was making a bunch of different ones. Varium was one of them. It's a variety of all elements,
right?
And, vararium.
So
vararium.
You guys are just making up stuff now.
No,
we could be doing it the whole time.
Yeah.
So
podcastium is what all podcasts are made out of.
True. Aussium, made of awesome.
Or Australians.
So PS2.
Yum.
PS2 EM, which is composed mainly of RPGs, as far as my version of it is.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying Final Fantasy. I mean, I probably won't finish it again because... I have some other things keeping me busy right now.
Have you issues with finishing games?
But I've actually beat a lot of PS2 RPGs.
Yeah, but that was probably when the PS2 was the new thing.
Oh, yeah. But because pretty much all I own for PS1 is all of the Square RPGs. For some reason, it's hard for me to get rid of RPGs, but like anything else that I've...
Well, probably because you always tell yourself you're going to go back and play
them. I'm going to go back. But like a sports game, you know, we had mentioned earlier, I'm going to get rid of that for the new version.
Yeah.
Even action... Like, there's other things I've kept, like... Shadow of Colossus.
Hex, yeah.
Some weird, unusual games. Stuff that's hard to find sometimes.
You still have your God of Wars, right?
Yeah. Things like that. Things that I identify with the system. I think I still have my Gran Turismos.
Yeah.
Things I identify with a PS2 or that were first party.
I kept all my games for PS2. I didn't get rid of any. But I didn't have that many because I would just buy the games I really, really liked. And I rented everything else.
So, but yeah. PS2 was definitely one of the better systems of all time when it came to RPGs. That's what
and
I wanted
just,
to add.
I think just overall, I mean, Halo and Halo 2 really helped out the Xbox, But the PS2 had already been out for a year.
Yeah.
And it just had, in my opinion, sure, it wasn't great with shooters, mm-hmm. but when, like, Resident Evil 4, God of War 2, those games were better looking than any Xbox game that ever came out. I mean, they look as good as some of the first Xbox 360 games do.
And, you know, and in some cases, better.
Yeah.
Over G-Fighters, I'm looking at you.
But I mean, there was definitely those cutscenes, especially in God of War 2, it was like, wow, this is a PS2.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing. So.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I think when I think back of it, I mean, because some PS2 games now are already 9 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to get to a 10-year anniversary not too long, but it's going to be one of my RPG systems of choice.
Yeah.
And
well, it's funny because, like, PS1, like, I think Mario 3 looks better than some of the PS1 games I put on my PS2. Like, I was playing the Spider-Man game. I was like, oh my god, why does it look so bad? Like, their hands are giant cubes. You know, I was like, Mario Brothers looks better than this. Just because they didn't try to look good.
Right.
It's just Mario.
Yeah, it's me, Mario.
So Super Mario and Final Fantasies.
Hells yeah, play them again.
It's always good to go old school every so often.
Yeah, don't forget your old friends. Especially,
like, you know, we talked about, I mentioned at the beginning of the episode how I liked autumn and this time of year. You know, every new game's coming out in the next 2 months. So, you know, cleanse your palate every so often, go old school.
Hells yeah.
There's always going to, you know, Halo ODST and God of War Modern Warfare 2.
They'll still be there.
Still going to be there.
Oh yeah. Yeah, just take a little time off. Let your Xbox Live lapse for a week or something and play some old school games. I know you can't hook them up to the internet, but, you know, get some friends to come over and
socialize.
And school them at Super Mario 3 like I do with my friends. You know?
We're going to take a break now, in which we beat up Nate. Yeah. But we're going to come back with your zombie tip.
Yep.
And preview of maybe our bonus episode?
Yeah, and we're going to, because we haven't given out our email this time.
So come back after this little music break, or maybe something filled with sound effects now that I got the sneak back. We're not sure yet.
It's going to be nothing but sound effects the whole time. Weep, weep, weep. Hold up. Check it out. We've had lots of bets. It's the awesome bet.
We have a background in bets, which we'll talk about.
And Tom is our awesome Android bet commissioner.
Right.
Because he is an Android and awesome, and the bet is awesome. So we will be talking about our
video game related. So
it is.
Listen to the next podcast.
And Star Wars related.
It is. And Facebook related.
Yeah.
So it combines Star Wars, Facebook, and video games. If you're intrigued.
Yes.
Which you should be.
Dun, dun, dun.
Send them email.
Yeah.
Or tweet us.
Or tweet.
Tweet.
Yeah. Do something. I mean, even like I said, if you just want to say, like, Nate's a jerk or whatever. I mean, I prefer you don't, but if you got to, do it.
Or if you want to know what he actually said underneath the animal noises that are probably going to go over part of this.
Or the little kids sing boo, which I like that one the best.
That's probably going to go in there.
Okay, good.
All right. Do you want to do your ending
Yes,
thing?
I do.
Okay. The floor is yours.
All right, this has been Nate.
This has been Dan.
And Tom.
Injection complete.